Good morning. Welcome back and blessings on your new year. We'd like to begin today with a prayer of thanksgiving to God for bringing the president of our church body, President Reverend Glenn Obenberger, safely through hip replacement surgery this morning. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the many wonderful things we enjoy due to modern medicine. We thank you for using these skills and abilities now with these doctors to provide healing to Glenn's body. If it is your will, we pray that you would continue to cause him to have a full recovery, that he may go on to serve you. We pray this all in our Lord's saving name. Amen. Then please join me in another prayer for the new year. On page 149 in the front part of your hymn book, page 149, the front portion, prayer number 17 for the new year. Almighty and everlasting God, from whom comes down every good and perfect gift, we give you thanks for all your benefits, temporal and spiritual, bestowed upon us in the past year. And we beseech you of your goodness, grant us a favorable and joyful year. Defend us from all dangers and adversities, and send upon us the fullness of your blessing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatian congregations, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You college students, most of you are probably too unborn yet to remember this. But in 1995, there was a horrific bombing of the Oklahoma City Federal Building. You've probably seen some reports about it. And on the bottom floor of that building, it came crashing down, there was a daycare, and there were 19 little children, like under two, some of them, that were killed. But there were six preschoolers who survived, and they were found later down deep in the rubble. And rescuers had to go down and very carefully remove like rocks and things to get to them. And there was a young man who was, or now a young man, but was a little boy at the time. He was only 18 months old. And he had multiple broken bones. 55% of his body was burned, and he was hospitalized for over 3 months after the bombing. And he was way too young to really understand and comprehend just what a horrific event this was. And also the gratitude that he would feel toward those who put their own lives at risk in order to rescue him. You and I live in a world that has been brought to destruction by the fall into sin. And one of the effects of that event in human history is that we're not even deeply aware of just how fallen we are, and just how difficult this fallen world is. And it's easy for us to underestimate it, maybe like a little child a few years after that, maybe underestimating what that whole event was like. And the only way that we can have any sense of just how tragic and devastating the fall into sin has been on us is if God, through his word, comes and enlightens us and explains it to us and shows us what he says about it. We live under the delusion that somehow maybe we deserve better from God. I know I can fall into thinking like that. Oh, God should treat me a little bit better, maybe give me more blessings and things. And when things don't necessarily go right for us, it might be easy for us to kind of assume that we're being treated in a way that's unjust. And but the Bible says that if God really wanted to lay upon me and you what real justice would be like, if he wanted to burn that on us, we wouldn't know what to think. Little children sometimes fail to see how significant an event like that rescue effort would be in order to save them. And they also don't always comprehend just how dangerous it was for those that did this extremely difficult work to go down under the rubble and to ultimately find them and bring them to safety. The reality of God's law is this. When his law speaks about my life and my heart, this is what it says. Every intent of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. Just think what that's saying. That by ourselves, that's how devastating the consequences of the fall into sin are on us spiritually. Okay? Every intent of the thoughts of man's heart are only evil continually. Now in our text, notice that all three persons of the Trinity are involved in this great rescue effort to get us out of this fallen condition. It all started in the heart of God the Father. God sent forth his Son, St. Paul says. And he lays out a plan, and he lays it out for his Son's life that is going to be worked out in real human time. I've always loved the great hymn verse in Luther's hymn. He spoke to his beloved Son, "'Tis time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to man salvation. Slay bitter death for him that he may live with thee forever." The plan then to rescue us was worked out through the life of God's own Son. Had to be a human being. Had to be someone who could have his blood shed and who could offer a death. Had to be a living, breathing person. The severity of God's justice did not allow God to just look at us and say, "Well, boys will be boys. Other people do a lot of worse things." That's not justice. God's justice required that there had to be an exacting punishment for our sin. And so we're told that Christ came into this world through a woman's womb to redeem those who are under the law, that's us, to buy us back to God. You now know about it, and you know the benefit that you have due to the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Paul says, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Notice that the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, now the third person of the Trinity involved in this plan, has been sent into your hearts. It's not something you choose to do at all, but he has been sent into our hearts. And this now effects a dramatic change in our status before God. He says, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Imagine if you suddenly found out that you were an heir to a very, very wealthy relative that you hadn't even met, and that they've put you in their will. And that had been their decision way back, and put your name in there, and you didn't even know about it until someone finally explains it to you. This is what God the Holy Spirit does through his word and through baptism. He comes and lets us know that we have been made heirs of eternal life in heaven. One of the survivors of that Oklahoma City bombing was a little girl, and she said this. She went on to say this. It wasn't really until high school that it dawned on me how significant this event was, and that I made it out alive. When you and I someday get to heaven and get to see how beautiful the mansions of heaven are, and that God the Son left all of this just for us, and that he's the one that paid the full price to get us there, and we'll see how radiant and glorified this beautiful place is in heaven, then we'll start to realize and appreciate what we've been rescued from. In this joyous post-Christmas season and Epiphany season, let us say these words with even more intensity when we look at this text. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please rise for prayer. You'll see a responsive prayer written in your bulletin for today. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guard while life shall last, and our eternal home. In the name of Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in his peace. Amen.